Welcome to episode 12 of the Needle Movement Podcast. Today will be a solo show on email marketing. Gonna go under the hood, show you how to do a quick email audit for growth. I'm Stephen Carl, talking to you straight from Brooklyn, New York. Now let's get on to the show. Hey everyone. This month we're gonna be talking about email marketing. And this is a timely topic. For this show, I'm going through some common things that people overlook on accounts and going to share, you know, kind of open the curtain up and share how to do an audit of your email marketing, how the agencies and consultants do this. You know, what are the things that they look out for? Just sharing what's on my checklist when looking through an email account where I can identify the opportunities. With email, I just want to highlight mindset, because I think with digital marketing, there are a lot of things that can be counterintuitive, and email is a great example of this. What I mean by a counterintuitive is it's where our assumptions and our impressions of something are different than the end result. You know, I see this in marketing all the time because, you know, I'm a Gen Xer, you know, so that means I have a lot of experience in marketing, but some of that experience is not that valuable, actually. I have to unlearn it. I have to unlearn it because it's going to lead me to the wrong conclusions. It happens a lot in marketing that what worked 2 years ago, whether it's a tactic or a channel, it won't work as well today. You know, so there is that adaptability, but sometimes from the marketing of the past, I mean, I would call it the old school marketing, or the Glengarry Glen Ross version. And I'm not sure if you've seen the movie version of that with Alec Baldwin. He has a famous speech. And in the speech, he says, A, B, C, A always, B, B, C closing, always be closing, always be closing. And along with some nasty words after that. But it's just that idea that either you're hitting a home run or, you know what, the door's right there. So that was my early marketing education. And we think of marketing as just, it's either zero or one. And marketing these days is so different because there's so many more touch points. And the fact of the matter is there's typically a dozen touch points. There's a dozen interactions with a brand before a consumer typically buys. You know, but also with, I think, the counterintuitive thing with digital marketing and that brand owners have to deal with is, it's that issue of, should I focus my energy on new things or should I focus my energy on making the things I currently have better? And the latter argument, actually, I think is underrepresented, you know, because with all of our stuff, if we can optimize things and make it better, not launch things from scratch, like first off, if you're already working within a channel, if you're already, say, sending out emails, you know the gist of it. You're just trying to get better at it. And the learning curve is less. Instead of, you know, if you've never marketed on Pinterest, there's going to be a learning curve to that. It's going to take you time to build the reps and to understand that channel so that you can perform better. And inevitably, there are going to be rookie mistakes that are unavoidable. But I do think email is a great example where you're probably sending emails, but there's a lot of potential optimizations out there. You know, I guess with email too, it ties into this, into being counterintuitive. I think of it as, I would compare email as a marketing channel to the boy next door or the girl next door, that syndrome, where it's just not the sexiest channel. It's not the most alluring one. It's a dinosaur. It's been around for 20 years. And it doesn't have that novelty factor or that shiny new toy. You know, like if you went to a party and you said, all I do is send out emails, like no one would be impressed. People would just walk away. But I want to rewire things because it's just the way we think. Because email, it generates serious dollars. And for a company, it is the easiest way or one of the easiest ways to get revenue. You press that send button on an email, and we've all been through this, okay? And I've been a doubter before too, but you press that button on an email, you're going to see sales often within minutes, And you could easily see thousands of dollars within the 24-hour period of sending that email. And seeing those sales come through is an amazing feeling. And I think, why does email work, even though it's a dinosaur? Because it's a broadcast strategy to your buyers and the most interested parties. It's permission marketing. These are buyers and people that have already opted in. They're already asking for more information. They're hot leads or warm leads. One New Year's resolution I had this year was to simplify things. I share the overwhelm with everyone here that there are no Sunday afternoons that are quiet anymore. There's just a barrage of information that's coming at us all the time. But we can't focus on everything. What we have to do is be mindful of everything, but really hone in on a couple of areas. For this year, one opportunity I see with brands is there are two things to do. You know, there are two things I think you should prioritize over anything else. And I say this because I've seen the positive effects of that elsewhere. But the two things to do are, one, double down on email, whether it's your resources, whether it's your time, whether it's your investment, double down on email. And two, focus on growing your list, focusing on growing your email subscribers. Because if you think it's good when you have 20,000 subscribers on your list, if you have 25 or 30,000 email subscribers, it gets even better. And these two areas are also things that we see people execute, but there's always more that can be done. You know, today we're going to focus on an email audit. And the main reason why is because I've seen a lot of tactics, but it's really the best way to grow email revenue and to identify the opportunities. So I'm going to share a walkthrough of what I look at on email accounts and go through that checklist of the things that I look out for. And it's not going to be too long. And it's just kind of coming from about 15 years of experience of looking at email accounts and seeing what to look out for inside of it. Because there's a lot of information, but I think you can extrapolate certain things by testing and identifying what comes out. You know, and we're looking for things that are holding back the current business. A metaphor for email marketing is, let's say it's an engine, it's technology, and we're looking for the things that are preventing, our friction in that engine, that are preventing it from going full speed. Because you'd be surprised how much money is left on the table on email, and that's why an audit is a great place to start to find more avenues to build email sales. And the idea here is to make each email blast you send more relevant to the recipient. The big picture on email is the systems, the underlying systems. Email is your engine of communication. And because it's the engine, it deserves an inspection. And when I say inspection, don't worry, this is not going to get too technical. There's no techie required. We just need to have an understanding of the moving parts. You know, so let's see. So for email, the most important elements are the email service provider you're using. That could be Klaviyo, MailChimp, Zayus, ConvertKit. There's so many of them. The e-commerce platform, like a Shopify, BigCommerce, Magento. There's also other systems like your pop-up provider. Like a lot of companies use JustDoNo or Privy, or even a bounce exchange to serve pop-ups to the audience. A loyalty program, a reviews provider. Examples of that would be Stamped.io, Yotpo, or JudgeMe. I guess the email service provider and the e-commerce platform are definitely the most important ones. But it's always that the data is passing between those areas seamlessly. Because the biggest issues that come up with email is when you have an email set up, but it's not being sent to the intended audience for whatever reason. It's when the data is off. The idea here is to do a spot check. And spot checks can be pretty painless. I mean, all you have to do is enter your email as a user. You know, so you do a spot check of some important areas. And let's say I can identify three different ones. Your subscriber signups, the important customer list you have, and also looking at the user profile inside the email service provider. So let's go into subscriber signups. all the places that somebody signs up for email, like the footer of the email. A lot of times in checkout, there's a checkbox that a buyer would get subscribed to email. Pop-ups, we were talking about Just Do Know and Privy. Pop-ups are set up that once you come to the page, you can sign up for email and there's a good call to action. You know, so sign up into, check those areas. Put an email address in there and see what happens. You know, for me, I have, I do a lot of testing on email. So one thing I do is like, I have a lot of email aliases and it's pretty easy to set up aliases. But for my email, I have steven@needlemovement.com, steve@needlemovement.com. My dog, Nico, she has an email address, nico@needlemovement.com, testing@needlemovement.com. And I use all these emails to test the subscriber forms because I want to see that A, it gets into the system in the first place, and B, what email does it spit out when I sign up? What messages am I receiving? And that's how you test the signups. Because let's just say, I mean, I saw this on an account just last week. Let's just say the API integration for the subscribers isn't set up. Oops, email, new subscriber never got there. You know, I think a lot of times when people don't look at their systems at a regular basis, these really simple breakdowns can happen. You know, another thing I see sometimes is maybe the email platform changed, but the most popular way to sign up is all set, but one of the pop-ups doesn't send to the email system or things like that. Important lists are another thing to do a spot check of. Like I would identify important lists as your recent buyers, say buyers from the past 180 days, the people that open and click on emails the most. Those are things that you want those people to be getting into the email funnel and receiving emails and be opted in. Like recent buyers should be opted in. So just checking through these lists that you think lead the most to sales, those are the ones to make sure that that email funnel is seamless. So the next area to look is a user profile. You know, and this is easy, like just if you signed up to email, take your email address and look inside the ESP, look inside Klaviyo. You know, there's a place you can search your profile, enter your profile in, and then look at your account. You know, look at what events are being tracked on the account. I think this actually is very useful if you've been subscribed for a few months. But it should be tracking if you purchase something, if you add it to cart. It could track if you viewed a product. It could track your subscription event or when you open up an email. The key to that data is that it's going to help. Your automations are only going to be as good or bad as that. You know, and I'll say this with the user profiles. Like I know this is a little more technical, but like if your tracking is missing or you see a bug, adding tracking is a very quick task for a developer. It won't take hours to do. It's a pretty quick fix. And a lot of things, with a lot of these systems, I mean, you're not, you know, with Klaviyo, you're definitely not the first person to have these questions or to need help on the integrations. So if you're thinking this all sounds great and interesting, but I don't have the time or the familiarity with my email provider to do this, I mean, let me make a quick announcement here, a little bit of a plug. Needle Movement offers done-for-you email marketing for emerging brands. Like we can send emails for you, set up automations, look under the hood. We could run your entire email campaign. We know everyone wants to do this stuff, but sometimes there's too much on our plates to get it done. Reach out to hello@needlemovement.com if you want to take action. And let's move on to automations. You know, and automations would be, an example is your abandoned cart. It triggers an event and that event will send out an email. And I remember about a couple of years ago, I remember pitching a client. And before the pitch, I had reviewed their email account. So I had drawn my conclusions about it. And the pitch involved doing more automations. And I remember saying to them kind of what I'm saying here, that there was a lot more opportunity with the messages they were sending to new subscribers, that the abandoned cart could be done, that they could reach out, you know, to some of their lapsed customers and get them back. And speaking to the head of marketing, her response was so interesting to me because she said, yeah, abandoned cart, that's already done. Like welcome series, we've been doing that for months. You know, this all sounds great, but I don't know if these are new ideas. because we already have this covered in our program. After a long dialogue, I explained, you know, my review of the account and some of my conclusions. And I really applaud this company because they were open-minded to the approach. They trusted and listened to our expertise on it. And, you know, and we got that account. And I really credit that head of marketing. You know, she was for going forward. And it was interesting. I just looked today at some of the numbers that we had before and after launching that account. The sales were up on that account 450% after some of the changes that we did. So after, on the brand side, they said, hey, we got everything covered. We're already doing this. 450% growth. You know, and that just goes to show that opportunity for optimization. I think a lot of it with automations is one thing you have to watch out for is low volume on automation emails, that if you're sending out an abandoned cart, you know, or welcome series and only one or two people are getting sent it on a daily basis, that's a problem. It could be a technical problem. It could be a list growth problem. But you really want to get more people into those series. There is also always quality assurance too, because setting up automations is, I don't know if you're familiar with and or statements where you have to set up logic, but it's very easy to fuck up. I've done it myself. You know, if an automation has fucked up logic, you know what the results are going to be. These things are easy to fix. I mean, that's the good news. You just have to identify them. For brands, there are four automations that I would consider in the core. And that is the abandoned cart, the welcome series, browse abandonment, and post-purchase. And I take this from, I've seen some literature coming from Klaviyo and also from other ESPs on the recommendations for what gets the most results. But the suggestion I give typically is, especially when you're relatively new to the automation game, is to really start on the more simple side to make sure that for those four campaigns, you know, abandoned cart and welcome are probably the two biggest. And then browse abandonment and post-purchase. Like when those are humming, when those are efficient and you got them in a good place, then there are other automations that you can do. And I say this only because sometimes I see brands jump to do many more different types of automations. And what ends up happening is, especially if they're more complex, you know, maybe someone will focus on it for a month and then forget about it for 3 months. It leads to more things breaking, but I do think the focus on those four, it gives you the bandwidth to play around with those results month after month to make them better. Because I really think this is, email marketing is a game of optimization on a monthly basis. We can't focus on everything, so let's focus on the things that the experts in the industry are telling us to do the most. Another thing that impacts email a lot is who we're sending the emails to and the deliverability of those emails. The thing about deliverability is it ties into inboxes, that these days we see it ourselves that inboxes are flooded and our Gmail has multiple tabs, and it's surprising what ends up in the spam folder these days. You know, I was looking at my spam folder yesterday, had a few surprises. I saw Target there, Domino's Pizza, had a couple emails there, and PacSun. So it's not so hard to get into the spam folder, even if you have a decent message. But deliverability is that concept of sending positive signals to Gmail, Outlook, and all the email clients that you have an engaged audience that opens and clicks things, that you're not a fly-by-night company, but that you're getting good engagement. As a benchmark, I would say you want to have over 20% open rate on your emails on average. I think if it's under 20%, I mean, under 10% is a big problem, but when you're between 10 and 20%, there's room for improvement. It means that something is not perfect if you're getting that percentage of response to the people that are opening the email and clicking through on it. So this is where audience comes into play. What determines the audience that you're sending to? Back in the day, you know, we're kind of getting back to the counterintuitive thing, because I think this is another one where your logic can, you know, the assumptions that are built can be different than what leads to the best results. But back in the day, there was this term that we used where a lot of brands, I think the logic is correct in many ways. Like the brands are thinking, If I have a list of, say, 5,000 email addresses from, and they signed up a couple years back, why can't I just send to them all? Like, they're old buyers, they subscribed way back when. I have this list. What's the harm in sending to them all? Because 5,000 names is better than sending to 3,000 names, right? The tactic is called, in the industry, it was called spray and pray. That you just send to everybody and you hope for the best results. But the thing about sending to people that haven't opened up an email in a long period of time is, like, if someone hasn't opened your email in 18 months, if they haven't opened it, they haven't clicked it, or they haven't purchased, if you send something to their inbox, they don't know it's coming. They're not expecting it. So what are the odds here? There are overwhelming odds that they will not buy from the email. And the problem also is they made a switch jobs. So maybe that email will bounce. If people are engaged with emails, they also mark it as spam. It has a possibility to create a negative event instead of that positive purchase event that we're really looking for. So I think, like, names that are really old that are someone who hasn't opened any emails in a year and a half. So you sent them 50 emails and none of them have been opened or clicked. These are the names you should start thinking about sunsetting. Days list cleansing is happening more because you perform best when your emails get higher engagement and those signals are being sent to the email clients, and that gives you the best inbox placement when you get high open and click rates. That's why a lot of brands create what they call engaged lists. And this would be, say, people who have opened at least one email in the past 90 days. If that happens, then you're probably going to get a high click rate. Because the thing about your email list is these days, total email subscribers on your list, that's just a vanity metric. Because if you have 50,000 people on your list, but when push comes to shove, only 7,000 people are opening, then your list is closer to 10,000 than 50,000. So, I mean, your engaged audience is really your true list. Now, so another part of the audit would be looking at the email content and where we can find opportunities. So looking at some of the previous campaigns and getting a sense of the logic between the copy and the design, like, how do you write subject lines? You know, what is the style of the copywriting? How many words are you putting into the text? What type of images you're using? So, subject lines, we could do a whole episode on this. Subject lines are meant to start conversations. Subject lines pique interest, they tease. That's how you get the click. They have personality. I mean, I think if you have a sale or discount, definitely mention it there, because hearing that there's 25% off, that's going to make them click if that's a different event. But I would say I'm not the best person to talk about discount strategy, but I would say it's better when a sales email or discount message is occasional so that it pops. Because when it happens frequently, if it happens on a weekly basis, then it dilutes the message. But I guess just try to be original with subject lines. I mean, I'll give you a couple of examples of that pique interest idea. You know, there's a company called Roan. One of their subject lines this past week was, "It must be stopped." So it must be stopped. Like, what must be stopped? Curiosity. It's feeding that curiosity. And then Greats, the sneaker brand, they just had a subject line this week that said, "Who doesn't love pets? ? Okay. I, of course, clicked that because I'm a pet owner. I have a dog. And every pet owner, and there are a lot of them, would be partial to that. So it's a good hook. You know, I'm a pet owner, so I'm voting for my dog, Nico, when I click on that email. It has nothing to do with Greats, but it's getting me through that first barrier, the inbox. And I guess on the other side with subject lines, there's try to avoid cliche. Because in marketing, cliche can be a no-no because it's old. And a lot of times, you know, we'll use strategies that have been used before, and there might be subject lines that have been used before. Like, one example of this is, "We miss you." Like, I would try to say the same thing, but in a different way. Because when your subject lines use language that has been used many times before, and "We miss you," it's probably been used hundreds of times before by other companies. But it's like that pop song that you hear 1,000 times. Like, at some point, our brain, like, runs for the hills. We run for the hills with, like, our hands over our ears to ignore hearing it again. There's something very dissonant about it. So watch out for that with subject lines. Let's go to the body of the email, the core design. You know, think about this on, you know, where I was talking about this on the episode with Dylan Kelly, and he was saying how a person will look at your email for an average of 13 seconds. Your whole email, that does not give you much time. You know, so you have to think with your email content, are they able to skim the content? Have you ever heard the phrase TLDR? Like TLDR stands for too long didn't read. So what happens is if someone sees a long email, they get overwhelmed. They're like, fuck it. I'm not even going to open this, or I'm not even going to interact with it. But bite-sized content works best in email so that the user doesn't get overwhelmed. Another thing we have to think about with emails is to design them for mobile devices, because odds are over half of your audience is going to be looking at that email on an iPhone or a similar device. And that's part of the process too, that internally in your company, you really want to be mindful of the mobile version of that email blast. And also that you're reviewing that email, because your inbox, the subject line, and the content of the email, it's all going to look very different between desktop and mobile. So another part of the content of the email is A/B testing. You know, with A/B testing, with the platforms like Klaviyo, Zayus, MailChimp, they all have pretty good built-in functionality for A/B testing, where you can easily test a couple of subject lines, or you could test the content to see. But it's good to have a regimen of A/B testing so that you're slowly building towards what you think is really going to work and get the most response. Especially with automations, like with your abandoned cart automations, for example, like there is always an element of doing A/B testing to test different versions to see what gets a higher response. But I think the biggest question with the content of the email is the question of persuasiveness. Is it persuasive? With marketing, it's always about the other person, what value and what benefits them the most. And that's what's hard with brands, where you want to push your product, but with the community, you really have to think first about the benefits that that community is going to get from the product and see it through their eyes. Before, we were talking about, or in a couple episodes ago, this concept of newness, how newness sells. And that's what right now the web and social media is all based on, this concept of how exciting newness is. So with the email, think about new product. Dropping new product is exciting. Sharing new content or new videos that you developed could be exciting. A new sale could be very exciting, or just new things that are happening at the company. But think in that framework of newness, because newness can generate excitement. And the other benefit of newness, especially with email, is when you drop a new product and you announce it over email, and this is a very common strategy in e-commerce now, you can charge full price for it. So it's perfect. I mean, you can have a higher margin for it too, because the power of newness, of getting that thing that first came out, is attractive to the consumer. Now, I think with email, a lot of it is just when you're formulating the content, is thinking about like you're actually talking to another person. But I think another thing with persuasiveness is, one of my favorite types of emails to send is a letter from the president or the founder. Because in that letter, the president is not going to talk about how successful the company is directly or how well it's doing. The focus of the message is, I'm the president of this company, and all I'm thinking about is you. You get my full attention. You're my customer. And building that empathy and building that relationship, it transcends. It's a big difference that people don't want to buy from faceless corporations. They want to buy from sincere companies, first and foremost. It is counterintuitive, again, because we assume that money is the only persuasion, that 25% off is going to get the job done. And it can. But another lever to push in that toolbox is that sincerity and persuasiveness. The idea is, how can I overcome the customer's objections to buying my product? How can I answer them directly through email? And a lot of times what companies do is, like, they will survey their audience, or they'll look at social media messages, they'll do customer surveys, they'll ask their customer service department, what are people saying? And from that, you can extrapolate the top five reasons that people abandon or don't buy. You know, and that's where email fits in nice, because like your welcome series, for example, it can just be an answer to those top five objections. You find your own way. Like, that's why, you know, this episode, know, we're taping this just after the Super Bowl, and I saw a couple of commercials like this that were interesting. Bud Light had an interesting commercial. You know, and this is a funny one because have you heard of Bud Light Seltzer? Like, everyone is losing their shit over this. Wow. Did not expect that Bud Light would get into the bubbly water. It's actually because beer is trending down, because a lot of people are not, especially, you know, people Gen Z and millennials are seeing things like hard seltzer as more attractive than beer. But so Bud Light Seltzer, you know, so Bud Light had a Super Bowl commercial, you know, to address this phenomenon. And it had all the flourishes. Like, it was entertaining and it featured Post Malone. He was the celebrity. The episode was a parody. It was inside Post Malone's mind. And he's in a convenience store and he's looking at Bud Light Seltzer. And he's looking at other Bud Light products. And he's making a decision, should I buy it or not? So this commercial was entertaining, but it also, he was speaking out loud the customer's objections. And at the end of the episode, Post Malone's internal struggle inside of his mind, you know, in the mind bridge where they make decisions, like in Star Trek, where Captain Kirk would sit with Spock, they press a button on the bridge that says, get both Bud Light beer and seltzer. I'll include this in the show notes, this commercial, but it's just an example of how you hear people's objections and then through email marketing or something else, that gives you an opportunity to address them. You know, because once you address those objections, addressing those objections will ultimately help your conversions. Now let's wrap up and go through the next steps. After a growth audit, often we end up with a short list of things that need to be optimized. And what's cool about when you find a missing script, missing code, or a faulty connection is these things are not too difficult to fix. It usually takes, you know, an hour or two of even if you need a developer, it doesn't take too long. You know, so you end up with a few of these aha bugs that you find. And those mistakes are great to find because fixing them quickly boosts revenue. When you find a bug on an abandoned cart that sends out daily emails to hot leads, by fixing it, you did it. You literally just fixed the leaky faucet. And then the rest of the audit findings become optimizations. They don't have to be done today, tomorrow, or next week. It's something you add to a to-do list for continued email optimization. And each month, you work through them to make the program stronger. Some are bugs. Many others are just ways to get higher conversions and more orders in the future through sending out the same amount of emails. Here's a short list of the types of bugs and optimizations to look out for. I'll list some examples right now of what I've seen in previous email audits, what you can look out for. So I found on one audit, I saw a web tracking script was removed from the product page by accident. So oops, only half of the email sales were being reported in the system or in Google Analytics. I've seen instances where a company is only doing abandoned cart campaigns for automations, which is fine, but that just means that there are probably three other easy automations which could generate additional revenue without much effort. So there's a huge opportunity there. I've seen a few brand websites that have negative list growth, and that just means that more people are unsubscribing than new subscribers are coming in, which is bad. I've seen a lot of stuff on the mobile version of Email Blast. Sometimes people only look at the desktop version, but on the mobile, which over half of your audience is probably seeing, a lot of times the call to action buttons are too small. So the viewer doesn't know where to click. And because the attention span is so small, they end up not clicking through on the email and getting to the website. Seeing some email content bugs on automations too, where in an automation, the wrong product is highlighted, or for a discount email, it has an expired coupon. Oh my God, I remember one where the old company logo was being sent in the live campaign, had this extremely awkward conversation with the art director who was pissed that this was happening. You know, but it's often because people aren't looking at it as much or they don't look at the emails regularly enough. And finally, subscriber lists inside an email service provider. Those can be a hot mess where you'll see there's eight different subscriber lists scattered in a menu and like only one person knows what's the difference between the lists. And a quick tip to organize those lists, like especially once you stop using a list, you know, just do some maintenance periodically and remove the excess. And also, if you have corporate or wholesale customers, create separate lists for them. Like there's some really good opportunities for automation with them too. Those customers are great because their average order size is really high. So they deserve to get special attention and special messages. And I'm telling you, once you get those things done, it'll just be fun sending out emails. I mean, even if no one's impressed at a cocktail party or at a gathering, doesn't matter. Like, because, you know, with email, what I love about it is I don't want to present it as an elixir. I don't think it's going to solve all the business's problems or challenges. But when you're, let's just say 25% of your revenue is coming from email marketing, then we know that you're making a good profit off of that 25%. You know, it's not going to be as good in other areas, but at least it gives you a little bit of a war chest to deal with all the other stuff that needs to be solved and that will help you scale the business. Because I think one of the biggest problems that brands get into is when the business isn't growing fast enough and they don't have the resources to do it. So with email can be a highly profitable channel for companies. It can also be a pretty efficient and painless way once you have that engine going smoothly. You know what I'm going to say? I suggest to double down on email marketing this year and prioritize these items because in most cases, look, I mean, I hate saying the term easy money, but I'll say it's easier money. And we all work really hard in our business. There's a lot of like hard-earned dollars. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. So I'm just thinking we deserve this. I'm going to take it, the opportunity for easier dollars. You know, getting that steady stream of sales from email, it can reduce sales stress. And it allows you to focus on other important tasks to scale the business. It turns marketing into what we want. That idea of cause and effect. Send email, rinse, repeat, revenue. You know, so, hey, looking forward to hearing how this goes. Let me know how your email growth audit goes and what you find. And feel free to reach out with any questions. Oh, and I'm psyched. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have a new episode on list growth. Continue this conversation we're having right now and focus on how to build your email subscriber list. Well, that's all for now. Thanks so much for listening. Adios. Thank you so much for listening. This episode is sponsored by Needle Movement. Needle Movement helps time-starved entrepreneurs and emerging brands. E-commerce, it can be overwhelming because our time is split up among so many initiatives and different responsibilities. A lot of times brands really want to do vital marketing tasks. They just don't have time to execute them. For brands, Needle Movement focuses on email marketing services, list growth, and digital strategy, simply because we know that these are the most profitable initiatives out there. For our engagements, we execute individual email blasts, set up email automations, and we even have quote-unquote done-for-you email marketing services where we can manage the whole program. That way, you can take care of all your other responsibilities without having to worry about email. Learn more about our affordable packages by visiting needlemovement.com. Book a call today on the site and we can discuss how to make business growth easier. And last but not least, be sure to tune in next week for another new episode of the podcast.